Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
A lecture intended to tell the stories of Black people's contributions to America that often get left out of history books is back for its second year at Marquette. It's called Things Your History Teacher Didn't Teach You, Blacks in History, Part 2. Derek Mosley is behind it. He's the director of the law school's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Mosley has been posting stories about Black people's presence in American history for more than a decade on social media. WUWM race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell spoke with Mosley about the upcoming lecture.
So my mom, her siblings, all went to high school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so when I was growing up, my mom had told me about the Tulsa race massacre. And I remember I was like in fifth grade and my mom said, "Hey, are you learning about the Tulsa race massacre?" So I went and asked the teacher, said, "Hey, are we going to learn about Tulsa and the race massacre?" And my teacher said, "It never happened." So I remember going home and talking to my mom. "Hey, the teacher said it never happened." And she blew up. And so the next day at school, she's dragging me. Where is she? Point her out. Is that her right there? And then she had to have this conversation with the teacher. And from that moment on, she made it her mission to make sure I knew everything. And I have made it my mission to make sure my children know everything. And now with social media, it's given me the ability to have it go out all over the place. I had one story about the 6888s I did maybe 3 years ago before anybody knew who they were. And that story has like been shared 140,000 times. And so social media is allowing me to reach people with these stories that I never would have reached just doing a lecture series, you know, here and there. And, you know, I have so many stories because once you start on this journey, you realize that, first of all, we were taught nothing. And when I was in school, I learned about Martin Luther King. I learned about Rosa Parks and I learned about Frederick Douglass. That was it. Didn't learn about Malcolm X because he was a little too radical. And it wasn't until I started reading the autobiography of Malcolm X and listening to his speeches that I realized he really wasn't that radical. But it had been drained into us that he was too radical. So even when the stories were always out there, but they were a lot easier to hide when you had to try to find them in libraries of the Dewey Decimal System, right? But now a Google search could take you anywhere. And now the archives, the U.S. archives are open to the public. So you could do that as well. And so there's so many rich stories and they're important to tell.
What does your research look like?
Yeah, so it's myself and my sister together. We do the same thing. She also does, she's still DEC in Chicago, and she does her same thing I do, 28 facts. And so we interchange stories, we do our own independent research, and then we exchange stories so that we can cover the gamut of Black culture, right? And so it starts with Google searches, it starts with buying books. I was just down in Chicago at the Newberry Library trying to buy books on Black history. That's where I get a lot of my information from. The books are there. Fortunately for us, we have some amazing Black historians who have put all these into books that we can access either virtually or buy them, you know, at the library. And so it's made it a lot easier than it was when I first started. When I first started, it was literally going to the library and say, "Where's your Black history section?" "Well, we don't have a Black history section." "All right, well, give me a book about anybody Black, and then I'll go from there."
How do you choose what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, so there's no chronological order to it, really. Okay. I just take all these stories that I've amassed over a decade, and I just decide these are the 28 I'm going to feature today. And those are the 28 I'm going to feature next year. This never stops. I mean, from last year, when February, it was actually a leap year. So it was like, what, February 29th last year. From that moment till this moment, I've been researching new stories. And stories tend to it's sort of like a river. It has all these little tributaries and they go in all different directions. History is intertwined. It connects because all of us are connected. And my favorite quote is by James Baldwin, and he said, "The past is not the past; it's the present in everything that we do today," which is so true. things that happened in the past is the reason why things are the way they are now. And so if we don't learn that, we will continue to make those same foolish mistakes.
You know, I know you talked about your mom really making it a priority to make sure you knew history, and now you do that for your children. Did you foresee yourself kind of taking on this mantle of sharing history with the community in this way?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, when I first started doing it, I just thought I was going to throw it on Facebook, and it was just something I throw out that my Facebook friends would see, right? And that was it. But then one friend saw it and shared it. Then another friend saw it and shared it. And then it just started to multiply to the point where I had reached my limit of Facebook friends, like within like the first, you only allowed 5,000 on Facebook, and that was gone like in a year because people were like, I want to follow you. I was taking friend requests from people, and then that got full, and now people were following. And I love it because people want to hear these stories. And now Instagram opened up a new realm too. You're hitting a younger generation, you know, because the Facebook group is mostly like older generation of people, but they didn't learn it either. And so a lot of them are like, what? I never knew that story. That's hard to believe. And the one that like surprises like a lot of people is anything like around World War II. Because when you watch movies of World War II, when you were growing up, there were never any Black people in it. And so I went like the most of my life, young life, watching these movies thinking, oh, Black people didn't do anything in World War II, right? Mm. We didn't tell those stories. A classic example is everybody knows Rosie the Riveter, right? Mm. You've seen the picture, We Can Do It. And every time you see it, it's always a white woman. And then when you saw the pictures of her of Life magazine, of these Rosies, they were all white women. But there were over 400,000 Black Rosies, 400,000 that we have sort of like kind of like erased from history. And finally, now we're starting to understand all those stories that all of us have contributed to what this country is all about.
People probably have an idea of the consequence of not hearing these stories, but I want to hear what your perspective is when you don't tell all these stories of Black people's presence, for example, in World War II. What are the consequences of leaving those stories, those people, those perspectives out of history?
Yeah, other than the fact that that you miss like the total comprehensive lecture of history of the United States. Besides that, it helps you understand why some things are the way they are, right? Mm-hmm. So when you drive in a car and you go to the suburbs, and while you're in the suburbs and you look around and you see, why is the suburbs 95% white? Why is that? But if we tell the stories that the vast majority of people who made it into the middle class, especially men, was because of the GI Bill. So they served their country, and then they got the GI Bill. They got low interest loans. They got free college. They got free loans for houses, free farms to try to farm to make them, this is our thank you from the country. But what we don't tell is that 1 million Black soldiers were denied the GI Bill, right? So this vehicle, which took whites into the middle class, was completely taken away from Blacks who served in that same war, right? Put their lives on the line. And so when you think of that and say, well, if the GI Bill took my grandfather and got him to the middle class where he got this house, and this house was then passed on to my parents, and then you have this generational wealth that keeps going, and then you look on another side of town, and you're like, well, everybody here rents. Why are they all renting? And why? I don't understand how this is happening. Well, when we tell those stories, and I'm not even getting to redlining, when we actually just said, we're not going to build houses in these neighborhoods, right? I'm not even getting to that. I'm talking about even before that, this vehicle. One thing that brought the country together was this world war. We're going to fight evil. We're going to do democracy. And everybody stepped up to do it. Men, women, all different races and cultures. And then the war is over, but we're not going to give our thank yous to these 1 million Black men and women who served valiantly, right? Served valiantly. We're not going to tell their stories. And so that helps you get a better perspective of why some things are the way they are, or why some groups haven't succeeded as well as other groups. And so That's why we tell these stories. When we don't tell these stories, then people think that the history they learn is the full comprehensive history of America. And then they say things like, well, why do we have a Black History Month? We don't have a White History Month. Right? You only hear that when you don't know the story, right?
Right.
The educated person who knows that story would never, ever say that. And then not to mention the fact, Taryn, that history helps us to not repeat the past. When we know our history, we know the mistakes we made in the past, and we don't repeat them. And so when you hear stories of how people's constitutional rights were trampled or their human rights were trampled, we don't want to duplicate that. But if we don't tell that story, we never heard that it ever happened, then everything seems like it's happening for the first time, when in fact, we've gone down this road before.
Absolutely. That necessary context is missing.
Yes.
So tell me what you think about this. We're witnessing folks in power attempt to erase Black history, really any marginalized group's history, yep. But particularly under this current administration. Do you think there will be more spaces popping up where Black people will be taking control of passing down that history in the community and in neighborhoods because the schools won't?
It's happening now. I mean, I could probably, I mean, you could go on TikTok, you can go on Instagram, you can go on any form of social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and there are people just like me and my sister who are telling these stories every single day, not just during Black History Month, every single day. And it's become the mission of all of us who are doing this work to get these stories out. And our reach is farther than we ever thought it could ever be. I mean, I get messages from people in other countries who were like, wow, I had no idea that was that story. That person who was in Slovenia would never know me at all if it wasn't for that story. And so we're bringing everything closer together. So they can say, you know, I'm not going to teach this. We're going to ban those books, and we're not going to do this or that. But the message is already getting out. And it's getting out to younger and younger generations. I mean, there's a whole bunch of young people on TikTok who are able to tell these Black history stories within like 18 seconds. They'll tell you the whole story of somebody in 18 seconds. And it's amazing. And it's easy. You hear it. And then from there, you move on to the next. You're like, oh, well, let me find out more about this story. Remember, I'm not here to tell you the entire diaspora of Black history.
Right.
I'm here just to tell you little stories that you might say to yourself, I'd like to learn a little bit more about right. this person. And then you do research on it. And then you find something new. And then you share that information. And then it just keeps flowering and flowering. We live in a society now where it's going to be really hard to keep those stories hidden because we are so connected to the rest of the world.
Derek Mosley is the director of the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University Law School. He spoke with WUWM race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell about his lecture, Things Your History Teacher Didn't Teach You, Blacks in History, Part 2. The event is happening Wednesday at Marquette University.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.